Good morning, disciples.
Calvin, I liked that. That was nice.
Good morning, disciples. How are we doing this morning?
We almost had a very short sermon because if that computer broke, I was not going to have that memorized.
Pastor Sean, that was a great transition time. I really appreciate you for doing that. Where you at? I needed that. Very beautiful. Well, I just want to reiterate what Pastor Sean had said. Welcome. So good to have you all here with us this morning. For those of you that this might be your first time with us, we hope that you feel at home. We hope you feel welcome here and continue to do so. We're going to jump right into it this morning. How many of you guys have ever experienced this or something like this? Maybe not in this context, but maybe in another way of communicating with somebody. So you're at home. And it's time to check out good old Facebook or Instagram or the Twitter to see what people are up to. You know, to see what they ate for dinner that night. To check out the new filters of bunny rabbit ears on their heads. And to see what their kids look like now versus 3 hours ago. All these things that we have access to look at. And then it never fails, but someone will post something that just does not align with our personal beliefs, our opinions, you know, silly things like people saying Ford is better than Chevy. Like, we just know that's not true. We know this because we know what Ford stands for. Found on road dead, right? Fix or repair daily, right? Fast only running downhill. Or in reverse, driver's return on foot. So, like, there's no argument here that Chevy's obviously better than Ford, but some people will post some silly stuff like this, and then it begins, right? Then it's on. The battle is on, and I'm talking about the internal battle, the battle of what is going to come out of me in this moment, the battle of what's going to come out of this mouth to the keyboard in this moment. What am I going to say? What part of me is going to come out in this conversation? So inside, you develop a well-crafted argument to combat this horrible viewpoint, to really give them a what for, to show them just how enlightened you are and how unenlightened the other person is, how wrong they are. And as things get going, something happens, and you guys can all probably relate to this. And again, whether it's maybe it's not social media, maybe it's a conversation you're having with your spouse or with your kids, but there's something happening in that conversation, something where you feel like the reins are being pulled. Where you hear this internal voice trying to hold you back, saying things like, stop, 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 don't say that, stop. But we don't, because we know our voice needs to be heard. So we press on, because we all know that we're going to change everyone's mind in one post, one meme, one sarcastic remark, one conversation citing links to promote our opinion, knowing that the world will change one quippy comment at a time. But don't worry, usually the rant will end with something like, I'm praying for you, right? So at least it sounds as though we're speaking as a mouthpiece of God after we've gotten our jabs in and gotten our voice heard. And now I might be exaggerating just a tad and maybe unfairly describing, this new mic is like all over the place. Conversation, it might be unfairly describing conversations that happen a little, but I've actually seen this. And maybe it's not that funny of a degree, but I've seen this situation happen. And it's not just limited to social media, like I said before. I think this goes across every platform out there, including our everyday personal interactions with each other and the world around us. Just waiting to talk, waiting for our voice to be heard. It's not about the medium in which we use, but because no matter what medium that we use to communicate, whether it's typing, whether it's writing, whether it's talking, the common denominator is it's your voice. And your voice says a lot about who you are and what is in you. Not the sound of your voice, but the content thereof. What is the automatic response that you see coming from you when you're in the middle of a conversation like that? The automatic motivation, the automatic desire going into any conversation. But this is important. Because our voice will speak to what's important to you, the value that you place on the person that you're talking with, the motive of your heart, whether it's to tear down or to make a point or to give life. This morning we pick up in week 3 of the series, Empty Handed, this idea of losing ourselves to find ourselves. And the point this morning is we have a voice and we need to lose it to find His. And we will know that we have lost our voice and found His when we can discern the good fruit from what our voice says. Turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to Matthew chapter 12, verse 22. If you have your written Bible, you can do that. If not, there's YouVersion that you can download on your smartphone. And a matter of fact, in YouVersion, at the very bottom to the right, there's a tab for more. You can hit events, go to Disciples Church, and it will have all the verses that I'm going to be going over this morning. You can follow along there if you would like. And as you guys are looking around, would you guys just pray with me? Father, we're glad to be in this place. We're excited to be with You. We're hungry for what You have to say and what You want to do in our lives. Father, this morning, let Your voice be heard. Because honestly, Lord, if it's not Your voice, I have nothing worthwhile to say if it's not coming from You. So Lord, I pray that You would speak to us this morning, that we'd allow Your voice to have its day in our lives today, that we be attentive to what it is You're trying to say in and through us, and that, Lord, You would open our ears to hear, open our eyes to see, nudge us, and as You nudge us, we pray that we would be willing to move. So, Father, we love You, we bless You, we commit this time to You. In Your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. Matthew chapter 12, verse 22 through 25, and as you read this, you can almost read as though 22 and 23 could have been somebody's post back in the day if Facebook existed here. And then 24 through 25 could have been the, well, let me just tell them a what for kind of a deal. Then a demon-possessed man who was blind and couldn't speak was brought to Jesus. He healed the man so that he could both speak and see. The crowd was amazed and asked, could it be that Jesus is the son of David, the Messiah? And here we go. But when the Pharisees heard about the miracle, they said, no wonder he can cast out demons. He gets his power from Satan, the prince of demons. Jesus knew their thoughts and replied, any kingdom divided by civil war is doomed. A town or family splintered by feuding will fall apart. And he goes on to share as to why what they were thinking wasn't making sense and that it was the Holy Spirit at work here. And then we pick up in verse 23. It says, a tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, its fruit will be good. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. You brood of snakes, how could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. So he is identifying what is in their heart by what is coming out of their mouth. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. And I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. Let me say this about losing yourself. Losing yourself is understanding that your identity is not what you have made it. Your identity is found once you've lost what you have made it. This is why I want to emphasize the word our when I say losing our voice. Because we have been given a voice from God. It's good to have a voice that God has given you to speak, to share, to communicate. However, it's an engine that needs to be fueled. And what fuels your voice is what will be heard. Our voice is built on personal influences, politics, opinions, likes, dislikes. And it's really easy to allow those influences to be heard louder than the influence of the Holy Spirit. With all the platforms at our disposal, whether it's Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or anything else, a coffee conversation with a friend, we can at any moment scratch that itch to speak our mind on anything at any time. And I want to say that it's come at the price of losing some good things. Yeah. Not submitting our voice to God has cost us something, such as discernment. It's cost us wisdom. It's cost us grace. It's cost us humility, joy, peace. And we have become a people who find themselves and their voice, rather than finding themselves in God and their voice in God. Now, what's wrong with that phrase, finding ourselves and our voice? I mean, that sounds good. It sounds like something you would hear at a motivational conference being given by Tony Robbins or Roberts or whatever his name is. And that would be true to this kingdom as that being the thing you proclaim from the mountaintops. I have found myself. I have a voice. But in that context, it's all about us. But again, we're not of this kingdom. We are called to lose ourselves to find ourselves, to lose our voice, to find his voice working through us. Matthew chapter 10, verse 39, says, whoever finds their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. And the message is written this way, if you don't go all the way with me through thick and thin, you don't deserve me. If your first concern is to look after yourself, you'll never find yourself. But if you forget about yourself and look to me, you'll find both yourself and me. Because when our identity is established by our understanding, when our identity is established by our measure of grace, by our opinions of what is good, our rights as a citizen of this world, our, we lay a foundation of us and not him. And you can hear it in the way that we talk. Do you know that? You can hear the foundation of what is inside based on the way we talk. It's from this foundation that we begin speaking from. This becomes our voice. Either our voice is going to be a voice found in Christ, or it's going to be a voice propped up by the things of this world. This is where we discover if our voice will be an instrument for all of us, for all to hear us, or if it will be an instrument for all to hear him in any given conversation or situation. Our voice, our need to be heard, to be recognized, that what we think about anything has to be spoken. Our every word speaks to who we are. And in my opinion, one of the hardest things to lose today with all the arguments that are happening over everything, spiritually speaking, is our voice. And again, not a voice. There is a voice that we have that we've been given by God, but not our voice. Because our voice is what's going to defend us. Our voice is what's going to plead our case. Our voice is going to justify us. Our voice is going to promote us. Our voice is what we believe convinces others about who we are, what we believe and what we like and what we don't like. But when we lose it, when we lose our voice and find our voice in Christ, it blesses. It edifies, it lifts up, it praises, it worships, it declares, it speaks truth, it speaks with humility, it speaks with care, it speaks with Christ-like boldness, it speaks victory, it speaks hope, it speaks forgiveness, it makes room for fault.
Yes.
Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
As you can gather, just from that short few moments, I believe that our voice is a powerful tool and controlled by what's in our heart. From it, we see the overflow of our hearts. To lose our voice means we have to examine what is in there. And it's easy to do. Our voice tells the tale of what is in our hearts. My challenge to me and to us this morning is twofold. The first is, be okay with losing your voice to find God's voice. I know you have something to say about everything. I know there's going to be that one person that says something on social media that you have all the links to prove them wrong. Be okay with losing our voice to find God's voice. Second thing is begin to examine and deal with what our hearts are full of. Because from the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. This comes from a desire, guys, to work with God, not against him. Our voice and how we speak should reflect that very notion. Matthew 12:30 says, whoever is not with me is against me. And whoever does not gather with me scatters. That's powerful. So how do we lose our voice and find his? How do we cultivate a voice that gathers instead of scatters? I got 6 different ways in which I've just been thinking about over the week that the Lord has brought to the front of my mind in ways that I know I need to do better at. And I just want to share them with you and some verses to go along that opens this door to being okay with losing our voice and also, more importantly, examining our heart to see what is in there. First one is this. When we lose our voice and find his, it's no longer about what point we are trying to make.
Yeah.
Instead, wanting God's heart to prevail. We allow others' opinions of our politics, our sports teams, our you name it, to cause us to stand up and protect our stuff. And that honestly shouldn't make up who we are. But it does, to the point where we are willing to go down the road of scattering rather than gathering. Second thing is our voice, what we say, shouldn't be careless. Guys, purpose flows from our lips when they belong to God. In Isaiah 55:11, it says, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Losing our voice speaks to a reverent reality that people are listening and hearing our hearts speak. That should wake us up from time to time. That should cause a moment of pause before we type. That should cause us to pause in a discussion with your spouse or with your kids. Ephesians 4:29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. It's being attentive to who it is that we're talking to. Another key in this journey of losing our voice is our voice satisfies our end or our win. God's voice through you should be a blessing to others, not an I told you so. Our voice should be used for the greater win. Ecclesiastes 10:12 says, words from the wise are gracious, but fools are consumed by their own lips. In 1 Peter 3:9 says, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Our voice speaks to our reality. God's voice will speak to his. That should hit home too. Our voice speaks to our reality. We speak into situations from our own understanding and our own knowledge, when what we should be doing is losing that voice, speaking from God's understanding and his knowledge, and speaking from his reality of his kingdom. We voice negative things about who we are all the time. We voice what we can't overcome. We voice what we don't believe can be restored. We say we're realists, and so we speak to the condition of others as something that can't be renewed because it's just who they are. And I've been guilty of this, especially with my family members. For some of you who know that story, sometimes I find myself and I have to stop myself from saying, well, this is the way he's always been. It's never going to change. That's not God's voice. That's not God's voice. God's reality, mentality, comes from a completely different reality. God speaks life over you, and that same life over those that you are speaking to, even if you don't agree with them. Life should resonate from our voice, if it belongs to God. You guys believe that? I know this because in Ezekiel chapter 37, 1-5, it says, the hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and he set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, son of man, can these bones live? I said, sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to those bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. Our voice should be speaking of his reality, not ours.
Yeah.
Our voice should be speaking life over our marriage. Our voice should be speaking life over our kids.
Yeah.
Our voice should not give a rip what this world says is status quo. Our voice should be speaking of his kingdom. Here's another one. Think before you speak. If you want to determine the fruit of what will come from your lips, a good way to start is to think before you speak. Bringing wisdom back to voice is our goal. Not just to say, not just in what we say, but how about when we should say it? With hearts prepared to bring grace and humility into that conversation, into the words that are going to come from our mouths. Engaging your mind before you engage your mouth. James 1:19 says, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because what you say reveals something about you. Our voice displays who we are, and more so who we belong to. James chapter 3, verses 3-5 says, when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. James chapter 3, verse 9-12, continues in verse 9. It says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Our voice controls the direction of our lives like a rudder, like a bit. A bit and a rudder, it must be under the arm of a strong person. Underneath the strong arm. And James is saying that the only way to get control of your tongue, hearkening back to the opening scriptures of this morning, is to let Jesus have control of your heart. What's in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. Let Jesus be the abundance that guides your voice. If you are full of Christ and you are full of his love and you're full of his grace and you're full of just his love for other people, that is what's going to come out. Another key in this dynamic is it's okay if your voice doesn't get heard from time to time. Seriously. It's okay if your voice doesn't get heard from time to time. Matthew chapter 12, verse 19 and 21, it says, Jesus, knowing they were out to get him, moved on. This is in the Message Bible. A lot of people followed him, and he healed them all. He also cautioned them to keep it quiet, following the guidelines set down by Isaiah, when it says, look well at my handpicked servant. I love him so much. Take such delight in him. I've placed my spirit on him. He'll decree justice to the nations, but he won't yell, won't raise his voice. There'll be no commotion in the streets. He won't walk over anyone's feelings, won't push you into a corner. Before you know it, his justice will triumph. The mere sound of his name will signal hope, even among far-off unbelievers. but Pastor Dan, I have the freedom of speech. Yes, you do. You also are free to choose from which kingdom you're going to speak from. What does your voice speak about your heart? What are you abundantly full of that spills from your lips? Do you speak more from your voice or from His? Some verbal exercises that maybe we can work on, and they might not apply to you. I just wrote them down and didn't think twice about it. If you have to say something to prop you up, don't. If saying something comes at the cost of finding yourself, don't. If you have to debate at the cost of making someone low, don't. If you are in a position to use your words to win or to heal, choose healing every time. We have a God in us. That is the treasure that we should be speaking from. You can't go wrong in what you're going to share if it boasts about who God is. You can't go wrong in what you share or boast about if it's coming from the heart, from a heart full of Christ. I spoke earlier, what automatically comes from us, our automatic responses, our automatic motivations. When your heart is full of Christ and you've lost your voice to take up Jesus, the voice of Jesus in our lives, it automatically speaks of love. It automatically speaks of caring and hope and healing and joy and destiny and life. To lose yourself, to find yourself, guys, is a big deal. It's our calling. Less of us, more of Him. Can we be different? In this moment, I would like to invite the worship team to come back up, and I'd also like to invite any prayer team members that we have this morning. Can we be different than everyone else on social media? Can we be different? Can we be a people who others don't have to guard themselves around when they're coming to us to talk? Can we be a people who are so set on making sure that we gather than we scatter? Can we decide in a conversation that it's more important for me to draw them in to God's heart than it is to make my point known? It's tougher than you think. We see it all the time. Young adults pastor used to tell me that you can be 100% right and 0% effective. You ever been in those moments? Husband, wives? Have all the proof, you can have everything, but wind up accomplishing nothing. I will err on the side of gathering the best I can than scattering. Going back to our goals this morning, can we be okay with losing our voice to find God's? Can we this morning begin to examine and deal with and be attentive to what is in our hearts? Because it's not a one and done. It's not one of those things where we come this morning and go, yep, I had that conversation. That was not very good. That was obviously a lot of me and not a lot of God. So I examined it. We're good to go. Won't happen again. No, it's something we are attentive to. Guys, it's not like anybody's forcing you to respond to a post the second it comes out. No one is forcing you to disagree with somebody and have to make them believe you or for you to feel right at the end of the conversation. We have time. Again, going back to prayer. bringing wisdom back to voice, discernment back to voice, joy back to voice, peace back to our voice, joy back to our voice. I think I already said that. We're not everything turns into an argument. We can do this by going back to past conversations and ask yourself, whose voice did I hear? Matter of fact, if you're responding to an email, write your email and then read it and say, whose voice is this? And as you hit the delete button, you're going to start to gather. You're going to start to draw people near. Somebody who just wanted to fire out at you is going to see something completely different in you. Last thing I want us to think about this morning is, have you not been speaking from his reality over your life and the life of others? This morning I'm going to ask you guys to come up and examine your hearts in these moments. And I want that to be one of the key things we examine. Have we gotten so used to what is just commonplace in this kingdom that that's what we speak to? That when someone is sick, we just say, well, they didn't take care of themselves. When a marriage is on the rocks, we say, yeah, they're just not communicating very well. It kind of just happens that way. How about we speak from his kingdom, from his reality, instead of speaking death and status quo over the things that we do day in and day out, we begin to speak his life over them. We become his voice when we speak his reality into the things we do day in and day out. And I'm telling you right now, his reality is so much better in dealing with things than ours. I want us to stand this morning, if you would, with me. I love what Pastor Sean did this morning. Would you bow your heads? Would you close your eyes? Would you turn your voice off for a second? Would you begin to invite the voice of the Lord to speak through you? Change in this world would come if would be like if we if there was a voice of the Lord happening everywhere we went. If everywhere we went, it wasn't our voice speaking to those around us, but it was the voice of the Lord. If it wasn't our point that we're trying to make, if it wasn't our motive or our agenda that we're trying to get across, if what came from our lips the heart of the Lord. If we began every conversation, every appointment with the forethought that I am entering into this to gather, not to scatter, what would change? If things were escalating in conversation between husband and wife and we were able to stop, say, this isn't the voice of the Lord. Because the voice of the Lord says to me that you are cherished, you are beloved, you are loved. So I will speak those things over you. What would change? Earlier we were singing. The atmosphere is changing. Holy Spirit, you are in this place. The evidence is all around, and I want you to know you are the evidence. What does that evidence speak about God? What does that evidence voice about who God is? What does that evidence speak to the goodness and the love of our Father? Let the evidence that comes from these lips, Father, come from a heart full of you, not full of me, not full of words that promote myself, not words that bring others low, not words that just help me win, but words that help me heal, words that help me bring life. Father, let this life be evidence of who you are. This morning, speak to hearts. This is not a shame thing. This is not an anything thing. This is a reality of, man, there's so much more to this reality of losing yourself to find who you really are in Christ. That is a good thing. That is a beautiful thing. To lose what I have made me, to find what you have made me to be. So, Father, we don't take this lightly. This isn't an I told you so. This is an invitation into another way of living that promotes all of him and none of us. Father, we love you. We bless you. Help us to find that time where we are attentive to what is flowing from this heart. And I would challenge each and every one of us this morning to find someone up here to pray with. If it's just to say that I want to be a voice that speaks his reality over every area of my life, that my reality is just not doing it anymore. My reality does not declare his victory. My reality doesn't declare his goodness. My reality doesn't declare his healing, but his does. So maybe this morning that's what you want prayer for. Maybe that's what you're coming to God for, saying, God, I want your reality to flow from my voice. And then others, even in these last few moments, have been recollecting conversations you've had where you know the voice that has come from your mouth has not been that gathers. Let us be a gathering voice in this place. Amen? Let us be a gathering voice in this place. Let that be, let someone pray with you about that as well. Because there's not a one person in this building, I'm with you, that I need to be a better gatherer. To limit this voice from doing damage and scattering. But let it be a voice of healing. Let it be a voice of redemption. Let it be a voice that brings people closer to Jesus. We're going to worship, and as we do, find your way to the front. Find your way to someone to pray with you. Find your way on your knees and spend time with Jesus. And I'll be up in a moment.